Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Pray, dear God, you would take the word, take your word, dear God, put it in my heart and mind, and put it out of my mouth into your people's heart, dear God. And then what you have to say today, dear God, that we would listen, that we would hold on to, that we would obey, that we would be blessed by the preached word of yours, dear God. I have no words to say unless you say them to me and through me, dear Father. Speak now, for we, your people, need to hear. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Seeking God in 2020, seeking God, pursuing God, trusting in God in 2020. Again, we are 12 days into this new year, 12 days into this new decade, and probably if you made some New Year's resolutions, you know, you might have already broken one or two of them by now. You know, we're not quite halfway through the month yet, you know. But if you have or have not, I want to suggest again, as I did last week, that one of the things, and I'm not big on making New Year's resolutions. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing, good start of a new year. So, hey, I'm going to do this year a little differently. This year, make sure at the top of your list, Brother Timothy, make sure at the top of your list, Sister Lamonda, be like, I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to chase after God. I'm going to seek God more fervently this year than I did last year. I want to have a closer walk with Jesus this year than I did last year. I want to be a little closer to him. So I want to make whatever necessary adjustments I need to make in my life to do that. Maybe getting up a little earlier to spend a little time with the Lord, or maybe on your lunch break, going out and spending some time with the Lord, or maybe in your evening time, whatever it has to be. Make sure. So I'm going to this year carve out a little more time to be with the Lord. Now, let me just say this real quickly. Not just time to say, oh, okay, I read my little few verses today. I read my chapter today. I'm check that out. No. I'm talking about having an experience with God. You know, not just an intellectual or theological experience, but having a real vibrant daily relationship with the Lord. And some days might be better than other days, but your goal, my goal every day should be, I want to grow closer to Jesus today. I want to be more like my Lord and Savior this day. I want to be more filled, more controlled by His Holy Spirit this day. And guess what? That's a great desire for every follower of Christ, Sister Sherry, to have. That's a great desire. That's a God honoring desire. You can pray that. You don't have to pray that and say, well, I don't know if this is God's will. I'm going to pray that. Well, now that is God's will for all of us to grow closer to Him. Amen. That's God's will. And so that's a great prayer this morning. Let me just say this. I meant to mention this at prayer tonight. Let me just say it now. Last week, many of our young people went back to school and still maybe going back to college. And we was praying for them. And one of our educators said, don't forget about the educators. So let's pray definitely for our teachers and for our people on the college campuses. Let's pray for our educators as well as they try to teach our children, be it elementary, middle school, high school, or college. You know, let us pray for our educators. And we're blessed here as a church. We have quite a few educators. Let me just do this real quick. All our educators, stand real quickly. All our educators, if you're teaching or a principal or, amen. 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 Praise the Lord for all of you all's labor with our young ones. Amen. So let's definitely pray for our educators as well as we pray for our young people as they go back to school and back to college. But David, here's David again. David is on the run. David is on the run, and King Saul, he's crazy. He's a fool. And so he has David on the run. He's intimidated by, he was all right until David, you know, David went out and David was a mighty man of war. And David and Saul were pretty cool. You know, he was King Saul. David wasn't king yet. And then they made a little song up about David. Because David went out and he was a man of war. The Bible pretty much say every battle that David was in, it appears though that David won. You know, God was on his side. And so David comes back in town. They make a little song up about David. He says, Saul, he killed his 1,000. But David, he killed his 10,000. Saul said, wait a minute. This David got taken some of my glory. So from then on, for the most part, Saul was after David. So David is on the run. And David has encountered another problem here. He runs up against this other leader. The scripture called him Abimelech. That could be his name or a title. But he comes up against this other leader. And David is kind of outmanned and in a tough spot. So David pretty much just act like a madman. Act like he needed to be out at Moxon Bean. You know, he just act crazy. And so King Abimelech basically just said, okay, well, let this guy go. He's crazy. We don't have time to fool with him. And so he lets David go. David kind of gets away. And that's kind of the background of Psalms 34. And so after that, my brothers and sisters, God, the Holy Spirit led David to write this wonderful Psalm, Psalms 34. So David said, hey, look, David said, I was in a tough place. And he said, I sought the Lord and the Lord heard me and delivered me out of all my troubles. He said, I cried out unto the Lord and the Lord heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. And so David said, oh, because of that, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And David is saying, God is the only one who deserves, Jesus is the only one who deserves to be magnified, who deserves to be made a big deal about. Like this morning, I hope you understand, and we've been worshiping and praising the Lord. The Lord is a star here this morning. I said, the Lord, he's the center of attention here this morning, love. He is the star. He is the one that we exalt. He is the one that we magnify. We come together to worship him. I said, we come together to worship him. Not them, but him. We come together to worship him. And so David says in verse 7, as we pick up today's text, he says, the angel of the Lord encamps around, all around those who fear him and delivers them. See, saints, there are benefits to fearing the Lord. There are benefits to fearing. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot that down. There are benefits to fearing the Lord. And we're going to see that word fear in these few verses several times. And what it means in this context, in this verse, Aaron, what it means is having a reverence of the Lord. It means being in awe of God. It means adoring him. So it's not meaning necessarily shaking of God, but we do have, need to have a holy reverence of God. But it doesn't mean like being a scared or afraid of God in that context. It means to have a proper reverence for God. It means to be in awe of God. It means to adore God. I think here in 21st century Christianity, in my humble opinion, in the church, we've lost some of the awe factor of God. That was one of the reasons I believe the Lord led me to do that series on the attributes of God. Our God is awesome. I knew that before the song was written a few years ago, but our God is awesome. Our God is a bad God. Our God is bad. He is all knowing. He knows everything about everything. He knows what's going to happen today, tomorrow, next year, next month, next billion years. That's an awesome God. He is all powerful. He has all power. I say he has all power. I don't know anybody else or any other entity that has all power. I mean, the United States, we think we're a bad little country. We got a little power. We don't have all power. God got all power. And then our God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. I got a mother who lives in Arkansas. I got a daughter out in Phoenix, Arizona. But I don't have to sweat because the God I serve here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, guess what? He's in Arkansas. He's in Arizona. He's in Africa. He's in Russia. He's in heaven. He's everywhere, Sister Lawson. Our God is omnipresent. He is an awesome God. And so David says, and the text says, that you need to fear him. You need to reverence him. You need to adore him. And he tells us one of the reasons why right here in verse 7. The text says the angel of the Lord himself encamps all around those who fear him. Now most theologians say that this angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord in this verse is none other than the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Now I told you all last week, I preached in a sermon last week, Jesus just didn't show up in Bethlehem. Jesus is in the Old Testament too. Matter of fact, Jesus is even before the Old Testament opens up. Jesus has always existed. He's Alpha and Omega. John says it this way. He says, in the beginning was the Word, meaning Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. Colossians 1 says it this way. Nothing was made that was made. It was made through Jesus Christ. And he holds all things together. So here it is. The psalmist says, as you reverence God, as you adore God, as you're in awe of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is watching your back. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is all around you. Matter of fact, see, you've been put in God's witness protection program. Let me say that again. You've been put into God's witness protection program. Nobody can mess with you or me unless God allows it. I gotta say that one more time. Nobody can mess with you or me unless God allows it. ask Job, you know, God and the devil had a little conversation. Y'all know I got some Bible readers in the house. The text says, Brother Kirk, that God said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, yeah, I've considered him. Matter of fact, I've been trying to get to him, but you got a hedge of protection around him, God. I can't get to him, Lord. And the devil had to ask God for permission to mess with one of his people, Job. And guess what? God has to give the devil or whoever else permission to mess with us. Y'all not hearing that. Nothing can happen to me. Nothing can happen to you unless God signs off on it. And watch this. We don't serve some evil deity, Sister Kathy. If God signs off on it, it's ultimately going to bring him glory, and it's ultimately for your good and my good. I may not like it as I go through trials and tribulation, but I come out on the other side a little closer to the Lord. I come out on the other side, my faith is a little stronger. I come out on the other side, I can be able to tell somebody else that, yeah, you're going through a tough time now, but guess what? 3 months ago, I was in the same thing, and this God, he delivered me out of that thing, and he can deliver you out of that thing. Those of us who fear God, those of us who reverence and adore and in awe of God, God has us in his heavens, our protection, witness protection program. Nobody can mess with us unless God allows it. So watch this. If you fear God, you don't have to fear anyone or anything else. If you fear God, you and I don't have to fear anything or anyone. And so when fear tried to paralyze you, say, wait a minute, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them. Another translation, and rescues them. It's good to know that we serve a God who can deliver us. We serve a God who can rescue us. All of us in here got some stuff we need to be delivered from. Come on, somebody. Say, if you say, say amen, just say ouch or something. All of us got some stuff we need to be delivered from. Some of y'all might need to be delivered from lying. Just lie too much. Some of y'all might be needed to be delivered from a cussing demon. Just stuff just slip out of your mouth. Well, I didn't mean to say that, preacher. I didn't mean, well, no, we as we go down to the community kitchen on many Mondays, this is a friend of ours down there we try to minister to, and man, he has a cussing demon all on him, boy. Last Monday, I'm telling you, I heard some words I ain't heard in a long time. Like, man. But all of us got something, saints, we need to be delivered from. Y'all know some Christians still cuss a little bit, don't y'all know that? All of us got something we need to be delivered from. Oh, that's all I'm saying. But God is the one who can deliver us. God is the one who can rescue us. Whatever it is, it might be need to be delivered from low self-esteem, or you might need to be delivered from pride. It's a long list of stuff you can be delivered from. But all of us got some stuff we need to be delivered from. But I'm glad. Here's the good news. Here's the shout. God can and will deliver us. I said God can and will deliver us. I still got some stuff I need to be delivered from, but I thank God there's some stuff in my past that I have been delivered from. I said some stuff in my past that I have been delivered from. I'm going to leave that alone. But so verse 8, he goes on, David goes on and says, so because God delivers us, because God watches over us, because God hears our cry, David said, he encourages us, saints. He says, oh, taste and see. I love this imagery here. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. David said, just give him a try. Just give him a shout. Just come and experience our God, my God, and you'll see that he is good. I said, our God is good. I'm in the Bible now. Our God is good. But let me just even speak experientially, Sister Kayla and Brother Tyler. Our God is good. He was good enough to wake me up this morning. That's a good God. He didn't have to do it. He was good enough to put a little, I ate a little six pack of crackers and a little coffee this morning. He didn't have to provide that, but he gave that to me. He's a good God. He was good enough to let me get here safely this morning. I mean, safely, this morning. That's a good God. He was good enough yesterday. Watch this. Yesterday, I'm trying to relax a little bit and trying to watch the little playoff game and you know, the weather reports were everywhere. The game was way up there in the corner somewhere. It was kind of insignificant at that time. You're talking about tornadoes coming. I like sports, but forget the game if a tornado going to come through. But watch this. God was good enough. As I look around, I think the tornado passed over all of our houses. We take those things for granted sometimes, but God allowed it to go on over. And I didn't check the news this morning, but I think it was about a minimal damage in this area. That's a good God. I mean, all eating alone, a tornado warning, the radio coming up, all kind of stuff. But God is a good God. He stayed in hand. Guess what? God is in control of the storm. I don't mind this storm because God is in control of the storm. And so the psalmist said in verse 8, just try and taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Psalms 100 would say it this way, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Period. Here's a good one. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So because of that, saints, we are, Psalms 100, verse 4, we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? Why? Well, because the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Don't shout me down. Now, let me try it on this side. The Lord is good. Let me say it over here. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7 says it this way. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. See, all of us have been in trouble in our lives. You might be in some trouble right now. But I'm going to tell you, God is good. He's a stronghold. He can get you out of that trouble situation. He can take you out of that thing. He can bless you in that thing. So just trust him. Verse 8 says, trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. And verse 8 says, you'll be blessed. This word blessed here means to be happy and content. To be happy and content. Blessed is the person. Happy and content is the person who tries the Lord, tastes of the Lord. He'll enable you. Watch this. You can trust him to work out that situation on your job. Whatever that situation is, that person next tomorrow might be trying to lay a trap for you. Guess what? God can work that situation out. I said, God can work that situation out. You can trust him to work out your finances. Your money might be funny. Your change might be strange, but God can still work that thing out. I said, God can work that thing out. When I was in college, I often tell y'all this. When I was in college, I had a car. It was a Malibu. It was a gas guzzler. And man, I used to run out of gas half the time. So much so I used to keep a gallon of gas in the trunk of my car. True story. And sometimes, I know it was God. Sometimes that hand just be on E. And I'd be like, man, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I stayed with my brother. He stayed off campus. I don't know if I'm going to make it to campus, to class and back. That hand on E. But by God's grace, I made it to campus. That hand still on E. I passed about 10 gas stations. I should have been stopping, but. And got on back home. Okay, that hand still on E. God can work some stuff out. He can stretch some stuff out. And then wisdom told us that, boy, next time stop and get some gas. So the next time don't stretch it too long. But God can work that thing out. That's what the psalmist is saying in verse 8. He said, just taste and see. Just try him. Just try the Lord. And so if you haven't tasted, if you haven't come to him and received him as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to do that. Today is a good day to say, I'm going to give my life to you, dear Lord. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I want to try you. I've tried everything else. Nothing else is really working out. So I want to try you. I want to give my life to you. And I promise if you do that, you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. That's what David is saying. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. God is a good God. I said, God is a good God. So in 2020, saints, make sure if he is your Lord and Savior, make sure, as Romans 12 says, we have to present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice on a daily basis. Lord, today I want to present myself to you. Use me this day, dear Lord. Use me this day. I'm going to trust you more this day, dear Lord, in 2020. I'm going to seek you more this year in 2020. I'm going to seek and pursue you more this year. And then the psalmist said in verse 9, he repeats it about the fear in the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord. Y'all with me? You his saints. There is no want, verse 9, or no lack to those who fear him. Again, there are so many benefits to fearing the Lord. Remember, fearing means to reverence him, to be in awe of him. And remember from the previous verse, one of the things is as we fear the Lord, he's going to protect us. But this verse says, as we fear the Lord, this verse is basically saying, as we fear him, as we reverence him, as we adore him, he's going to provide for us. He's going to provide for us, Raven. He's going to provide for his people. I mean, God is his track record is impeccable. He always provides for his people. I said, he always provides for his people. The psalmist would say it this way. He said, I was young. I got some Bible readers, right? I was young, but now I'm old. And I've never seen a righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of his own people. Jesus says it this way. He said, hey, look, he said, my father takes care of the birds in the sky, right? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, and surely you are more valuable than them. Around our house, birds just be chirping and just having a good time. I don't see them all stressed out and anxious about what I'm going to eat tomorrow. Am I going to find some worms tomorrow? No, they doing well. So surely if God going to take care of the birds, do I have some witnesses? Surely if God is going to take care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of me, his people. He takes care of us. That's why Philippians, that's why Paul would say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends, which surpasses all human understanding, all human comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Psalmist says, just fear the Lord. You his saints, there will be no lack, no want. Now let me clear this up real quickly. Sometimes we get these needs and wants and desires all mixed up. Now God is not saying he's going to give you everything you want. But he is saying, I'm going to give you all that you need. And sometimes he adds a little something on top of that. He said, as we fear him, as we reverence him, we are not going to have any lack. He's going to give us everything that we need. I can hear Paul saying it this way. Paul said, for I have learned to be content. Much of the things that some of the things we pray about and ask about and complain about, they're not really needs. I said, they're not really needs. With the Bible said, with food and clothing, be content with these things. If I got a little roof over my head, if I got maybe a little hoop to get into every now and then, if I got a few little clothes on my back, little food on the table, I'm content. As long as I got a relationship with him, I'm content. Now, if he want to add some onto that, he can. That's fine. But I'm content with this. But the psalmist said, if you fear the Lord, if you revere the Lord, if you're in awe of God, you won't have any needs not being met. Now see, if I made you that promise, or if somebody else made you that promise, you might put an asterisk by it. But see, when God says it, I said, when God says it, the one who cannot lie, when he said, I'm going to take care of it, guess what? If he said it, he's going to do it. It's a done deal. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. He will provide for you. He will provide for you. Quick recap. Verse 7, fear the Lord and he will protect you and deliver you. Verse 8, taste of the Lord. Try him and you will be blessed. Verse 9, fear the Lord, adore him and he'll take care of you. Verse 10 says, depart from evil and do good. You might want to look at just somebody and say, quit, quit acting a fool. If you can't look at anybody, look up, look at yourself, look in the mirror. Say, quit acting a fool. I love the word of God. You know, it's going along. David is saying God is rescuing me and watching over me and doing all that. Then all of a sudden, like, I'm like, skirt, just in the middle of this. He said, wait a minute. He said, in verse 10, he said, quit acting a fool. Quit acting a fool. Yeah. Help us all. Help us all, Lord. And in verse 10, I skipped over verse 10. Verse 10 said, the young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord, verse 10, those who seek the Lord, those who trust the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Shall not lack any good thing. So God, he's telling us once again, if we fear him, if we reverence him, if we adore him, if we follow him, he's going to take care of us. And he went to the animal kingdom. He said, look, if you look into the animal kingdom, even the lion, who's supposed to be the king of the jungle, right? God said, even the lion, sometimes they get hungry. Sometimes they go without. Sometimes they lack stuff. The lion, the mighty lion, Mufasu. Is that his name? Mufasa, thank you. Something like that. And Lion King. Even he gets hungry sometimes. But God said, if you just hang with me, if you reverence me, if you're in awe of me, I'm going to make sure you are fed when you need to be fed. He said, even the lion, the king of the jungle, he goes hungry sometimes. But you're my child, and I'm going to take care of you. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing, the latter part of verse 10. Listen to this. If you're seeking God, if you're chasing after God, if you're trusting God, God says you will not lack any good thing. Now, that's good to hear. I said, that's good to hear. See, every good and perfect gift, the book of James, every good and perfect gift comes from above anyway. So God says, if you are tracking with him, if you are following him, Jesus said, you won't lack any good thing. God said, I'm going to take care of all that you need. You won't lack any good thing. Verse 11, as I hasten on. Then David says, since this fearing God, this reverencing God, this being in awe of God is so important, the psalmist says, David says, come now, love fellowship. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you, since it's so important, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. See, it's good to be taught and discipled by someone who has history with God. Let me repeat that. It's good to be taught and discipled by somebody who has history with God. Many of us in here might have been led to Christ or discipled by some person that was close to God. And I know I can think of several people in my life. I was like, man, I wish I was close to God like him. I wish I was close to God. It's good to be discipled and taught by somebody who walks close with God. So David, the psalmist, gives you and me an invitation this morning. He said, come now, come closer. I'm going to give you this open invitation to glean from me. To learn from David, a man who walked close to God. David is definitely a God chaser. David is definitely a God seeker. Matter of fact, so much so that God himself, this is what God said. God said, David is a man after my own heart. God said something about this guy, David. He just chases after me. He's after my own heart. That's what God said about David. So David can teach you and I a few things about seeking God. David, he would say stuff like, I meditate on the Lord. He doesn't necessarily say, I meditate on the word of God. And we know the word of God gives us information about God. But David said, I think about God himself. David said, I wake up in the morning thinking about Jesus. David said, as I go through the day, I'm thinking about God. David said, while I'm fighting Goliath, I'm thinking about God. Matter of fact, that's what really made David so mad when he showed up and this big, this Philistine who didn't reverence God was talking all that noise. And then David said, who is this Philistine talking noise about my God? And David said, let me at him. I'll take care of him. Me and my God will. And of course, David took him down. David was thinking about God when he was wrestling that lion and that bear. David said, God is still on my mind. David, when he's out there watching the sheep, he said, God is on my mind. David, when he's writing Psalms 20, he's talking about the Lord is my shepherd. God is on his mind. So David said, let me teach you all something about the fear of the Lord. David said, I wake up thinking about God. I go to bed thinking about God. I daydream about God. God is always on my mind. Matter of fact, David and our God, when they would drift apart, Sister Consuelo, he would say something like in Psalms 42, which is one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. David would say something like, as the deer pants after the water brooks, my soul pants after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Saints, is that your heartbeat this morning? The most important thing in your life is to have some intimate time with God. Some intimate time with Jesus. See, Christianity is not like a religion. It's a relationship. It's not like a list of things, do's and okay, did I read my Bible? Did I didn't? Did I talk to somebody? No, that's not a checklist of stuff we do. It's some time we spend with a person. Let me say that again. It's not like a little checklist that we do. It's some time that we spend with a person. Now watch. If you spend time with that person, you're going to fill in a little checklist stuff. But it's about spending time with someone named Jesus. It's about spending time with someone named God. That's why the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The story goes about this little guy, and I think I've told this to y'all before. He was an old country preacher. And so, he went to this little, theology class one day, little seminar, and they kept talking real high level stuff and big words and, you know, giving all these just high explanations that he couldn't really understand. They were talking about Jesus, the professor, and he just kept going on and on. And a little old country preacher at the back of the auditorium, he took about all he could take and said, man, this guy just talking all this stuff and not really making much sense about this type of Jesus and historical Jesus and this and this. And so finally he raised up his hand. He couldn't wait any longer. He raised up his hand and he had an apple in his pocket and he wiped off the apple. And he tasted the apple. He bit the apple. And he asked the professor who was up there talking about Jesus. He said, Mr. Professor, I don't want to be rude, but can you tell me if this apple is sweet or sour? And the professor, he was a little irritated. Man, you interrupted my lecture to ask me some crazy question like that. No, of course I can't tell you if that apple is sweet or sour. He said, well, that's my point exactly. You can't tell me anything about my Jesus because you hadn't tasted him. You don't really know him. So a lot of people, my point is, saints, a lot of people know a lot of facts about Jesus. We even have seminary professors who teach about Jesus, but don't even really know Jesus, hadn't tasted of Jesus. So saints, our desire in 2020 should be, I want to taste of the Lord. I want to be closer to the Lord this year, this day, this week than I was last year. I want to have a close relationship with the Lord. So much so like Moses. Again, when Moses would talk to God, he would come out of the tent, and they had to put a veil, brothers and sisters, over his head because he was glowing so much because he had been in the presence of God. Saints, our lives should glow this year because we've been in the presence. Are y'all hearing me this morning? I said, our lives should glow because we're in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus. We are called to be salt and light, right? I said, we're called to be salt and light, right? So you know, you got to hang out with the shaker if you're going to be salt and light. You got to hang out with the source. So the psalmist goes on. I'm almost in my seat. The psalmist goes on. In verse 12, he says, he asked a good question, another good question. He said, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Now, I dare say, I'm going to guess that that's all of us. That all of us want to live many days. I like to look around. I don't think any of us, I hope none of us are in here suicidal this morning. We don't live many days, right? And I think most of us want to experience some good things, right? That's what verse 12 really says. See, he kind of sets us up. He said, who is the one? Who is the person who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Okay, if that's you and that's me, look what he says in verse 13 and 14. He gives us kind of a little prescription. If that's your prayer this morning, if that's your wish this morning, if that's your plea this morning, verse 13 and 14, he said, well, look at this. He said, verse 13 says, then keep your tongue from evil. Quit lying and gossiping and stuff. And your lips from speaking deceit. And then he said in verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So Saints, verse 13, you and I got to watch what we say. Guard your tongue. I preached a sermon here years ago called Tame That Tongue out of the book of James. James 3. Tame that tongue. Watch what you say. I mean, James would say it this way, the book of James. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So the Lord said, if you want to make your days many and pleasurable here on earth, you want to see good. He said, well, watch what you say. Keep your tongue from evil. Quit talking about folks. Quit slandering folks. Quit gossiping on folks. Oh, y'all getting quiet now. Y'all getting real quiet out there. And then he says in verse 14, here it is. Watch this. I think McLaurin said this yesterday. Many things, like verse 14, many things are simple doesn't necessarily mean easy. I said it again. Simple doesn't necessarily mean easy. Verse 14 is very simple. Listen to what it said. Depart from evil and do good. That's pretty simple, right? But it's not always easy. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Listen, depart from evil. Let me make it even simpler, even easier to understand. Depart from sin. Again, this psalm is written by a man who knew God, David. So we're looking at this from a perspective of a follower of Christ, a worshiper of God. You and I, we are to shun evil. Depart from evil. Our lifestyle, I'm not preaching sinless perfection, but my lifestyle and your lifestyle shouldn't be the hallmark of our lifestyle, Sister Candace. It shouldn't be one of sin. Just probably say we still should be praying for and reaching out to people who are unsaved. So I still know a few people, about every time you talk to them or come across them, they sinning. You call them at 6 o'clock in the morning. What you up to today, man? Sinning. Okay. All right. I'll check back with you later then. Catch them around noontime. What you doing today? Sinning. 3:30 PM. What you doing? Thinking about how I can sin. Our lifestyle shouldn't be like that, saints. Our life should be one of, living righteously. We don't get it right all the time. But our lifestyle shouldn't be just one dominated by sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit that you might not carry out the desires of the flesh. That you might not be in sin all the time. So David says, God says, depart from evil, depart from sin, and do good. Strive to live holy. That should be your desire, my desire. I want to live holy today. Let me say that again. I want to live holy today. Even as a Christian, these things don't always come naturally. So you got to say, well, Lord, wait a minute. I belong to you. I want to live holy today. I don't want to live, Romans 7. I don't want to live according to the flesh. I want to live according to the Spirit. I want to live holy today. So David says, God says, depart from evil, do good. And watch what he says. And I'm through. And I'm going to see. He says, seek peace and pursue it. You and I, remember, that's my title again, seeking him, seeking peace and pursuing it. Watch this. Peace is a person. I said, peace is a person. I said, peace is a person. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. God, one of his names is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. So watch this. When you and I pursue peace, we're not just pursuing some abstract idea. We're pursuing God himself. We're pursuing Jesus himself. We're told by the psalmist, he said, pursue peace, pursue the Lord, chase after him, seek after him and pursue him. This Christian life, it is a life of pursuit. Now, when we were lost, let me make it clear for you. When we were unsaved, let's clear these songs up. We weren't looking for my Jesus way out on the hill somewhere. No. You and I was running away from the Lord. He ran us down. He got us out of the gutter. He put our feet on a solid rock. He came and got us. But now that we're in the number called the redeemed, now that we are belonging to him, we got some stuff we need to be doing. I said, we got some stuff we need to be doing. You ain't going to be closer to the Lord this year if you're not spending some time in prayer. You're not going to be closer to the Lord this year if you're not spending some time in the Word of God. You're not going to be closer to the Lord if you're not telling others about the Lord. But as you do these things, once again, not a checklist type of stuff, you're doing it because you're on mission with the Lord. I said, you're on mission with the Lord. He's told us, me and you, and this church and all churches, all Christians, to go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy. I'm glad 2 weeks from now we're going to get to baptize Sister Consuela. Huh? We praise the Lord for that. So he told us to go and baptize, teaching them, here it is, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And watch this. Don't miss this. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the day. He said, while you're doing what I told you to go do, guess what? I'm right there with you, helping you to do it. I'm right there with you, giving you the wisdom, giving you the insight, giving you the power to do whatever he's called us to do, saints. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. I said, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. But you got to spend some time with the one who strengthens you. Oh, y'all not with me this morning. You got to spend some time with them. Am I the only one jump up in the morning and say, oh, I got to go do this and this. And you get by midway through the day and stuff ain't quite coming together and stuff ain't working right. You're like, wait a minute. What's going on? And then the Lord had to remind me, wait a minute. You hadn't really prayed. You hadn't really spent time in the Word. We hadn't really spent any time together. You know, you got to spend some time with the Lord as you walk and serve the Lord. Are y'all with me this morning? We're in verses 7 through 14. Here's your part. Here's my part. We are to fear the Lord. You might want to jot these down if you haven't jotted these down. You got to fear the Lord. In other words, you got to reverence the Lord. You got to be in awe of God. You got to trust in the Lord. You got to taste of the Lord. That's verse 8. Taste of the Lord and see that he is good. You got to seek the Lord. I mean, seek him while he may be found. Chase after the Lord. You got to come to the Lord. You got to turn to the Lord. All that's in verses 7 through 14. And then, saints, you and I got to depart from evil and do good. We're called to live holy. Matter of fact, the Lord said this way. Said we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. As a matter of fact, God said, you be holy. God says, you be holy because I'm holy. And then as we're doing those things, saints, watch what God is doing. God is going to be right from the text. God said, I'll be protecting you. I'll be blessing you. I'll be providing for you. I'll be keeping my eye on you. I'll be satisfying your soul. I mean, God gives us all that we need spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. He provides for all of our needs. I got about 3 amens. Wait a minute. I said, God provides. Y'all getting, I know my time is about up. I'm about to get in my sleep, but look at y'all getting tired out there. I said, God provides for all of our spiritual needs, all of our emotional needs, all of our physical needs, all of our financial needs. He provides for them. He provides for it. That's why there's some that say, oh, taste and see. Try the Lord. He is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Everybody who has put their trust in the Lord, he has 100% satisfaction or guaranteed ratio. Nobody I know personally anyway who's gone to the Lord, given their life to the Lord, said, well, I wish I wouldn't have done that. That my life been messed up ever since. Now, once you give your life to the Lord, some stuff gonna be coming. But guess what? He'll help you fight off all that stuff that's coming. He'll help you to get on through whatever you're dealing with. I got one hand waving. I mean, trust in the Lord. Taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Turn to the Lord. Seek after the Lord. Chase after the Lord. And guess what? When you and it's God's will, saints, we're created. We are created to have a relationship with him. Jesus said this in Revelation 3. Talking to the church at Laodicea, talking to the church at Love Fellowship. He said, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if anyone just open up the door, I will come into him and dine with him and sup with him and commune with him. We don't serve some detached deity. God said, hey, just give me a chance, so to speak. Just open up. Give me a little time. Just open up my word. Just say a little prayer to me and I'll come into you. Revelation 3. I will dine with you. I will fellowship with you. I will commune with you. I will tabernacle with you. I will abide with you. Oh, I love the fact that our God loves to abide and hang out with his people. I said, God loves to abide and hang out with his people. We were created to worship him, right? So that should be on our agenda. Number one, I got to worship God. That's why I'm created to worship him today. I'm created to worship him today. I'm going to land it right here, saying. I'm going to land it right there. But in 2020, on this second Sunday of this new year, this new decade, make it up in your mind. Make up in your mind that the foremost thing on your agenda every day, is to be close to Jesus. And if you're close to Jesus, you'll be a better husband, you'll be a better father, you'll be a better person in your singleness, you'll be a better young person, you'll be a better person on your job, you'll be a better whatever. If you're closer to him, if you're more filled with his spirit, you're going to be a better whatever. You fill in the blank. But let that be your desire. I'm going to try to say that almost every week this whole year. Let that be your desire to chase more fervently after God. Be like Psalms 42. As a deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Let that be your heartbeat. Father, we thank you today. We thank you that we can have this relationship with you. We thank you that we have, many of us have been born again, dear God, and we thank you for bringing us into a relationship. So we pray, I pray for myself and for the whole church, dear Lord, that this year we'll be closer to you than we were last year.